2022-3847, sketch plot PS 2022-87 for Yes Housing Inc. at 3510 7th Street Northwest. And I think Mr. Arfman is here on that one.
Good afternoon again, Madam Chair.
Okay, so give us a little detail. I mean, we're familiar with this parcel, but just detail on where you're going next and how.
The planning process is the continuation of a two-phase development that was previously approved on a site plan that showed a multifamily live-work to the east. This tract is for a 21-lot subdivision made up of threeplexes, and that was also shown as a component of the site plan. We're in a process now of just having the sketch plat reviewed and to secure comments and to perhaps flush out some issues that may come up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arfman. And in the lexicon of the IDO, there isn't such thing as a triplex. So can you describe, is this, can you just kind of describe what this is?
It's a series of three townhouses that are connected.
Okay. That's what we were kind of guessing at. But,
and Madam Chair, yeah, they're all, I stand corrected. Fred Arfman's here. They're individually fee simple lots, but the zero lot lines with three connected.
Yeah, with three units connected together and then three more units and three more units. Okay.
Yes.
In terms of zero lot lines. Perfect. Okay. Let's get you some comments, Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. For this project, we have issued statement 210845 that provides the conditions for service. That was for the overall project, and it included the requirements for the subdivision. So as stated in emails to the applicant, we are able to utilize that statement for the subdivision as it moves forward for a platting action. That statement still carries. It's the Water Authority's understanding that the improvements are already included on the infrastructure list for that prior action, and the applicant developer is intending to construct the water and sewer, all of the water and sewer up front, and so that would provide service to these lots at the same time. So I think if that's the case, I think that works well for us in terms of we obviously have what we need. I think the sewer absolutely is required, all of it. The water, I think having that loop to the north through the eastern parcel, which is off this current site plan. We're gonna look for that because it was necessary for the fire flow assumptions. With that said, I'm not 100% expert on terms of how that gets listed in the infrastructure list, if it needs to be a duplicate of those prior items or how that gets handled, or if it's just listed twice and then you have your financial guarantee for the first one, which covers it. Basically, the requirements are gonna be the same for us, same sewer, same water, whatever you have listed on the prior one is what we're looking for. And has some standard comments about easements that's primarily related to any water meters. If those are gonna be outside of the existing public water easements, those would need to be within a 5x5 easement. So that said, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Fred Arfman here. Blaine, thank you for the comments. We concur with all those. We understand the process. And I think if those items are listed on the infrastructure list, previous actions, we just have to list a single project. They're not going to be double financially guaranteed. It's just listing for record keeping purposes.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Code enforcement.
Thank you. This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. Replat of the property cannot create a non-conformity to the IDO or increase an existing non-conformity. And replat of the property must meet all requirements of IDO sections 5.3 access and connectivity and 5.4 subdivision of land. Property is zoned MXM with dimensional standards as per IDO section 5.1D, table 5.1.2. The property is located in a Main Street corridor buffer area and is located in the North 4th Corridor CPO 9 zone with minimum setback and other standards to be followed as per IDO section 34J. Property is located in an area of change and is abutting adjacent to R1D residential properties in an area of consistency immediately to the north. This development will require special landscape buffer requirements of 15 feet as a result, as per IDO sections 56E5, table 565, and IDO sections 56E1 and 56E2. The multifamily triplex or townhouse units must meet development standards as per IDO section 43B5. That's all of the comments I have at this time.
Madam Chair, Fred Arfman. Mr. Palmer, I know that we're going to fail the first test as far as conformity, backing up those to the lots to the north. But in doing getting an improved site plan, does that not kind of trump those IDO requirements?
So this is Chair Woofley. Did Mr. Palmer, did those come from looking at this as multifamily?
No, just from looking at that as strictly as an area of change adjacent to an area of consistency, you know, residential development. The buffer requirements is strictly where I got that from in IDO section 56E5.
Madam Chair, Fred Arfman, we had gone through an awful long process of getting that site development.
Right, I understand.
And yeah. I thought that we're on track with a proper procedure here. I guarantee you we'll fail that conformity for lot sizes.
Okay, sorry, my IDO is scrolling slowly. 56E5. Okay. Let me look at that while we continue on. Let's go to parks.
Bill Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department. No comments for this request.
Okay, hydrology.
Ernest Termijo, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of October 25th, 2021. We have no objection.
Transportation.
Gene Wolfenberger with transportation. The most recently added pedestrian easement should be shown through Tract A to 4th Street for connection to 6th Street, include an easement through Tract B since there was a walkway connection provided there. For record purposes, only include infrastructure list items for the site that were previously financially guaranteed. These should just include, you know, what was previously requested on all adjacent roadway facilities. It should match what the previous infrastructure list showed. But again, if it's previously financially guaranteed, it's only for record purposes. The emergency access only that was for Tract A shall now be redefined as emergency access only to, I guess, the applicable tract as well as vehicular and pedestrian access to lots 1 through 21. And then last but not least, I just was curious about that Fairfield roadway easement because on the GIS map, it seems to indicate that as right of way.
Madam Chair, Jane, that is right of way. I don't know where that an easement popped into the equation on Fairfield, but that is definitely right of way.
Okay, so that I think that just needs to be taken off then it looks like if that's an error.
Oh, I see what the surveyor did. We will research that.
Because typically we would want right-of-way dedication anyways, but the reason I didn't see that earlier is because GIS seemed to indicate that, so it didn't pop out at me.
Madam Chair, Jean, this is Fred Arfman. If we don't have ownership of that, we will not be able to dedicate it. It's an off-site condition, but I like to look into it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I would like least like to have it looked into and provide a copy of it just to understand what's going on there.
Madam Chair, Fred Arfman here. Jean, I certainly agree with you. We'll take care of that.
Okay, planning comments?
Robert Webb with planning. The first section that was sent over in the comments are some of our standard comments and requirements. So just let us know if there's any questions as you get further along the process. Future developments. Code enforcement mentioned some, but they must meet all applicable standards and provisions of the IDO and DPM, including but not limited to the MXM standards, CPO 9, railroad and spur mapped area, Main Street corridor, and reference IDO section 5.6 for landscaping and edge buffer requirements, and IDO section 5.3C for driveway, drive aisles, and access. Amendments to prior approvals may be required, so some of the development standards, please carry those forward on any agreed upon features, sidewalk locations that pertain to the low density portion of the overall site plan that was approved, and reference the development and dwelling definitions of a townhome and low density residential. It is permissive within the MXM zone, and reference the use specific standards in section 4.3, and please reference the public notice requirements for a major subdivision action within IDO section 6.1. And that's it. Let us know if there's any questions from there.
Madam Chair, Mr. Webb, thank you very much for the comments. Now, I guess it's back to you, Madam Chair. Have you had any thoughts?
Yeah, I've been working. Let me just go to a question. So everything that you're showing on this proposed plat matches your site plan that was approved. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, I'm not too sure we had called out those exact lot configurations, but we did call out, well, I can't speak for that. I'll need to review that myself.
Okay.
Obviously, the intent, everything shown to the neighborhood, the city always had 21 lots in there. To what extent they are shown on the site plan. I thought there was a sheet that showed them in this configuration.
Okay, Mr. Palmer.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I was looking at this as well, and there is something I believe I overlooked in my evaluation of that table, of table 565 in 56E5. This property is located in the Main Street corridor area. And that table does state that buffering in the DT, UC, MS, PT areas would require a wall fence or vegetative screen greater than or equal to 6 feet. And we're just talking a buffer between this property and the R1D residential properties to the north. So I do not believe it would require the 15-foot buffer that I stated before. I overlooked the fact that this is in the MS zone when I was looking at that table.
Okay, that's a good catch, Mr. Palmer. I'm just gonna show that really quick, which section he's looking at. So you're here now, right?
Yes, page 300.
Page
300. 56E5, and the table that is immediately inside that.
Okay.
Yes, that are the table right there.
Right. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's general buffering is the third column, buffering in a Main Street corridor is the fourth column. So you're in this territory then, Mr. Arfman. Wall fence or vegetative screen greater than equal to 6 feet. And I think that it's, some of these are saying if there's an existing wall, it can satisfy the requirement.
That is correct.
Height. So, okay. Does that help, Mr. Arfman?
Madam Chair, Fred Arfman, can I ask, the 6-foot high wall, there is an existing wall along the north property line, and we are designing a structure that would stay help stabilize that wall because it was built right on an old irrigation ditch. But the structure we're designing is subsurface, and it would help support that wall and allow us to bring in about a foot, up to a foot and a half of retaining. So my question is that screen wall relative to the view from the north or the view from the south? The north being the view from is the existing neighbors.
Yeah. Mr. Palmer?
My take on that is, I mean, the whole point of this is that it's an edge buffer from that R1D zone looking back towards the developed property. I believe that would be acceptable as long as they have the 6-foot high screen between their property and the proposed property. I would feel that would be acceptable. I'm open for other comments from others in planning.
I would agree with you, Mr. Palmer.
So Madam Chair, Fred Arfman here. So if it is what I understand, I just heard from the existing property, the existing landowners to the north, they would actually have like a 7.5-foot high screen or wall, correct?
Well, are you saying that there, when you're finished with your wall, from the north property owners looking back south to your project, it would be 7.5 feet?
Well, if I'm hearing what I was just told, right, that's why I'm asking.
Well, I think we were trying to say, if there's an existing wall of 6 feet on the existing property owners, that would cover this requirement.
Madam Chair,
we don't know what the existing condition is.
Well, I think the existing condition is pretty close to being 6 feet. But as I said earlier, because of the nature of this property almost down in a bowl, we are forced to import in some material to raise the pads up about 2 feet, which equates to about raising the back of the wall height about 1.5 feet onto that, not on the wall, but onto that buried structure. So that means that the wall on our side, the townhouse side, would be about 4.5 feet at the shallowest or shortest condition. The wall height on the neighbor's height is still going to be 6 feet.
And I think what we're telling you is we think that works.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for the confusion there.
Yeah, because the intent here is to buffer the existing user, and their existing condition is to be buffered by a 6-foot wall. So,
okay. Very good.
You would need to keep in mind, Mr. Jeff Palmer, that should that neighbor decide to take their fence down, now you're responsible to create and provide that screen. If it's there, you're allowed to utilize that as a screen, but if it disappears, then that becomes your responsibility to fill in that gap.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Mr. Palmer, that wall actually is on our property in its entirety.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we will go with that.
It sounds like existing conditions are beneficial. Mr. Biazar, did you have a follow-up on this?
No, Madam Chair, no. I was just going to talk about the setback, and I was going to ask if setbacks were called out on the approved site plan, but it got resolved before I was going to say anything.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot in that there, IDO, and once you think you've got it, you find something that cross-references and makes it go a different direction. So thank you, Mr. Palmer.
So I just had a quick question about, sorry, Madam Chair, this is Shahabi. I had a quick question. I heard that they are proposing to build a new wall, right? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Mr. Balazar, no, we're not building a new wall. That wall out there is on our property, but what we're going to do is build a structure at its base on top of the footing that would allow us to bring in and retain against that new structure in combination with the wall, about a foot and a half of retaining.
Got it. Okay.
And so we're not actually going to rebuild the wall. There is a short section in there that does require a new fill in a wall section, but we'll build that wall. But it's maybe it's like 60 feet long. There's just a chain link or something, but we're going to take that down and build a wall.
And then thank you, Mr. Rodenbeck, for bringing up the site plan that was approved so that we can remember what it looked like and just, you know, once again, making sure all the general layout of the road and the sidewalks and everything on there is matching in your plat to what that site plan says.
So, yeah, and I just want to note too that I think in the past, when we've had an approved site plan, we've just wanted an administrative amendment approved showing the subdivision, if it's on the subject property for that site plan. And it'd just be a pretty simple process of just showing the platting on that site. But if this site area was a part of that site plan that was just approved, I think we'd want to show that, on an administrative amendment. And that's something I think we need to get back with you about, Fred. I know we've required that in the past. I know in past site plans where we've had a site plan for subdivision, I think it's more clear that you need an administrative amendment in that process. This is just a site plan, what would have been called a site plan for building permit in the past. And it's less clear if we really need to have that AA for this, but we'll get back with you about that. It doesn't show the subdivision of the property as the sketch plat shows. So it's a pretty simple process though of getting an administrative amendment approved for that.
Madam Chair, Mr. Rodenbeck, I thank you very much. I think that's a good course of action, and we'll talk about that offline then. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get back with you.
Okay, and then just follow those, as Mr. Webb pointed out, and probably Mr. Palmer, just making sure you look at the use specific standards for townhome to make sure there aren't any little gremlins in there for you, that it's all what you're planning to do. Okay, thank you so much. And we appreciate all your work on this.
And I'll thank you all for your comments. Appreciate it very much.
All right, okay, now let's look at the action sheet minutes from April 27th. Is there a motion to approve those?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second the motion.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Stormyho, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes of April 27, 2022. All right, Mr. Rodenbeck, do we have anything to sign?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yeah, I sent out two documents for signatures this afternoon. They're both infrastructure lists for the two approvals that we had earlier this morning. One was this afternoon. One was for the number four, PR 2018-1346. I sent that infrastructure list out, and then I sent the infrastructure list out for item number eight, the EPC site plan sign off for 5687. I sent out alphabetically. Let's see where we are at. Looks like Mr. Armijo. Okay, Jeff has signed 1346 and 5687's infrastructure list is, it looks like according to me, it's in Blaine's inbox, perhaps. That's 5687.
That's great. I just signed that one. It's going to Jeff next. That's the Alameda West. And I did, as of a minute ago, get the development agreement signed. So when you have that, I guess, site plan ready, I'm ready to sign that one as well.
All right, great. Thanks. We'll have a few other items I think we have to address for both of the site plans aside from that. Madam Chair, I'll note too that I just informed you about, it's another item. It's a preliminary final plat that was previously approved and sent out April 21st at 3:19 p.m. It's for PR 2021-6255. If you have a chance while waiting for these signatures, that one's available for your signature as well. It was sent out April 21st at 3:19 p.m.
I'm sorry, well, just give me the PR number again.
2021-6255.
6255.
Okay. Yeah. Mulhall informed me about that one. That was ready for you.
Okay.
All right. So the two approved today. Looks like Cheryl has signed them both. They're on to Jean.
Okay.
All right, Madam Chair, it looks like the infrastructure list for PR 2018-1346 is in your inbox.
I'm busy signing the other one.
Jean, there should be one more infrastructure list for you to sign. That's for 5687.
I got it. Awesome. Yeah, I already signed it.
Awesome. Thank you, Madam Chair.
One more to do here.
There's two, in addition to the one you just signed for 6255 from April 21st, you got two infrastructure lists you should see to sign. So you've got 1346, now it's just 5687.
Okay. Okay, everyone, I think we're finished and we will stand adjourned at 2:53 p.m.